Well, it is 3 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock. A very good afternoon to you. And welcome to the crossover right here on your number one talk radio station, or rather the only talk radio station right here in Namibia. And allow me to just thank Taten Aluvanda for keeping you guys company. That is from the hour of one right up until this hour, 4 o'clock, where I do take over and be with you until the hour of six. Yes. I'm sure we can, you know, hear the difference in the voice today. The voice is totally different. And that's because I have a cough. And this whole entire time before I came on air, I've been wondering, how am I going to sound? And I thought I was going to sound like husky, or the voice was going to be deep, something like that. But listening to myself right about now, I do sound, you know, like myself, except that the voice is a bit deeper to the normal voice. So, yeah, it is a beautiful Sunday. It is almost the end of September. This month definitely seems to be in a rush. You know, last week was the first Sunday, right? Yes, last week was the first Sunday, and today is the second Sunday. So we only have two more Sundays remaining, and the month of September will be done. So we will be done with it. And we will now start off the most important month in the year 2025. That is the month of October. There's a reason why it's very important. I will definitely tell you when we get into October why I am saying that it is a very important month. Yeah? Yes. So today we have a very, I don't want to say lovely conversation, but rather let me say today we have a very important conversation that we will be diving into this afternoon. And I hope you are not distracted. I know soccer is back, and if I'm not mistaken, there are games today. There was a break, so games I think are starting today. So I hope you can actually listen at the same time and also watch soccer, because it is a very important conversation that we are having today right here on the crossover. Yeah. And I wouldn't want you to miss it for anything. Also, if you have any contributions you'd like to, give into today's discussion or conversation, you will also be allowed to do that. Definitely. I'd like to hear what, your opinion is, your take, you know, what is it you think should be done, or we could do as a nation. Yes, as a nation. Let me just not give away what today's discussion is all about. I will do that in a bit, not very far from now. Let me just start off with, you know, selling ourselves. We are a business, like I usually say, that Eagle FM is a business. And when you buy a service, or when somebody you know buys a service, that guarantees my salary. Okay? That means I do get paid. So I will just start off with marketing the services that we offer here as Eagle Media House. I will start off with our e-paper. Yes, our e-paper that usually comes out three times in the week. That is on Mondays, on Wednesdays, as well as on Fridays. So our e-paper provides, you know, summaries of business, economic news, as well as policy development in the country. So if you are not yet subscribed, believe me, you are missing out on news related to business, economic, as well as policy development. So how do you subscribe to start receiving the e-paper, which is free of charge three times a week, Mondays, Wednesday, as well as Friday? It is very simple. It's easy. All you need to do is save this number on your smart device, 081-204-144. That is 081-204-144. And remember to save the number as the villager, so it's easy for you to remember. In a case where you don't subscribe in that moment after you save the number. So after you have saved the number, you send a WhatsApp message. Yes, not a text message, guys, not an iMessage, not an RCS message. No, but a WhatsApp message. You can actually just say subscribe. And after that, you wait for a response that is going to notify you that you have been subscribed. And thereafter, you will start receiving a free copy that is on three times in a week, on Mondays, on Wednesdays, as well as on Fridays, right? And also, we offer streaming services. We have, you know, an outside broadcasting van. I like to call it the studio on the wheels, because it is a fully fledged studio that can come to you wherever you are, whether in Namibia or outside the borders of Namibia, as long as you require our audience to get your message across, we will definitely make sure that we come to you, right? So how do your message or your messages get to our audience? So we come to you, we stream live your event. That means your event plays on our social media or is streamed on our social media platforms and also right here on air. And that guarantees you a larger audience because we do have an audience. And also we have our complimentary apps such as the Imba app and the Eagle FM app. Well, with the Imba app, I always tell you guys that we live in a very technologically era, right? So we can't be walking around carrying hymn books. Those things are heavy. Trust me, they are heavy. Whether you are carrying it in your hand or you are putting it in your bag that you are carrying, the thing is just heavy. So let's do away with the traditional hymn books that we carry around, and they tire us or they exhaust us, and rather download the Imba app, which is available on Play Store as well as App Store. Yeah, it's under Omalite Technologies. And also our Eagle FM app, a very convenient app. Like I always say, it makes your life easy in terms of you can tune in and listen to us anywhere you are, as long as you have Wi-Fi connection, internet connection, or data. You will be able to listen to whatever program is running on air. And in a case where, you missed a particular show, well, you can find that show under podcasts, even right now after the crossover is finished and you happen to miss the live one, like right now. You can just go under podcasts and look for the crossover today's date. You will be able to find it, and you will catch up and listen to what the conversation was on the crossover. And also on our Eagle FM app, for those who have the app on their smart devices, I'm sure you have realized that there is a digital billboard there. Yeah, there is a digital billboard on our Eagle FM application as well as our website. So this offers opportunities to businesses to increase their products as well as services visibility across different consumers. So if you are looking to increase your products or services visibility across different consumers, well, do not hesitate to contact our team so that you can also advertise on our digital billboard. Right. And also our social media remains the most active in the country. I always say this every Sunday that it's not even something we can argue about or debate about. And this provides an opportunity for those who want to enhance their product or brand visibility. Yeah. So do buy or purchase a service. Remember that when you do that. Or when you, cause one thing that I learned when it comes to advertising, word of mouth is also very, very, very big, right? So you're listening to me and hearing these services that we offer. You can go and tell the next person, and you never know, they might just buy or acquire one or two or more of these services that we do offer here at Eagle FM. It is now 13 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock. And if you just tuned in and you are wondering why is Abigail sounding like this today? Well, Abigail has a cough. Yes, a cough. And when I say a cough, it is a very serious one. But we are able to, you know, be in your company. As usual, I'm always excited on Sundays when I come and keep you guys company. I don't know if you know that, but I always tell you that. I'm always, always excited to come and be in your company. I mean, look at me today with this voice. It's not that bad. I know it's not that bad, but I could have just put in leave and just rest the throat, right? But because I always, always enjoy being in your company, well, here I am. Yeah. And now let me officially welcome you with a song by Lionel Richie. Definitely not a strange song on this show. Once upon a time, it was the theme song for the crossover. And we decided to, let's just change things around. And of course, here is Easy Like Sunday Morning by Lionel Richie. And I will see you on the other side where we will get right into today's conversation. I think I didn't mention the fact that we do have a guest. We do have a guest today. As usual, I'm not going to introduce him. It is a him. I will give him the opportunity to introduce himself once he joins us right here on air. Without any time wasting, here we go. Easy Like Sunday Morning.
I wanna be high.
nice Sunday morning.
Yeah.
That's why I'm me. Yeah, I can't do that high note thing.
I'm easy like Sunday morning.
It is Lionel Richie, Easy Like Sunday Morning, bringing us exactly at 19 past the hour of 4 o'clock. And if you just tuned in, welcome to the crossover right here on the one, the only talk radio station in Namibia, Eagle FM. And of course, I am your usual host, Abigail, until the hour of 6 o'clock. Yeah. So today we are going to talk about understanding suicide as well as finding hope. Yes, that is what we are going to talk about today. Understanding suicide and finding hope. Yeah. So this conversation comes right after, you know, it was reported that Namibia has actually become the highest country. I mean, the country with the highest suicide rate in Africa. Yes. And this actually came into light, was it before or after the commemoration of the World Suicide Prevention Day, which usually takes place on the 10th of September. That is annually on the 10th of September. It is World Suicide Prevention Day. And I could not believe my eyes when I saw that headline saying that Namibia is now the number one country on the African continent where people are committing suicide in higher numbers. Wow. And I was like, we need to have a conversation, to be honest. And I hope we will come through and contribute to this conversation, because this has become a pandemic in our country. Like, literally, it has become a pandemic. So, was it Wednesday? Last week Wednesday? Yes, last week Wednesday, it was the World Suicide Prevention Day, which is observed annually on September 10th. And the theme for this year's World Suicide Prevention Day was changing the narrative on suicide. That was the theme for this year's commemoration, right? So this theme, set by the International Association for Suicide Prevention and co-sponsored by the World Health Organization, was a call to action for individuals, you know, communities, organizations, as well as governments, to talk openly and compassionately. So the goal was to challenge the stigma and silence that often surround suicide and mental illness. So by having honest conversations, we can actually create a more supportive environment where people feel comfortable seeking help. And also share stories of hope and recovery, you know, centering the voices of those with the lived experience can actually help to change perceptions and show that healing is possible. Advocate for systematic change. This includes advocating for better access to mental health care, responsible media reporting, as well as national suicide prevention strategies. And also the theme was to promote education and awareness. You know, many organizations we'll be hosting events, you know, webinars, as well as training sessions to teach people how to recognize the warning signs of suicide and how to support someone in crisis, right? So in line with this theme, many activities have been planned globally, and this includes community-based events such as rallies, walks, and also local gatherings to raise awareness and remember those lost to suicide. And also activities such as online campaigns, using social media to share resources personal stories as well as key messages, with hashtags like hashtag World Suicide Prevention Day, and also workshops and trainings offering programs to equip people with the skills to intervene and support a person at risk, as well as advocacy efforts, which is meeting with policymakers to push for greater investment in suicide prevention. So the overall message is that suicide prevention is a collective responsibility, and also that every conversation and every action, no matter how small, can actually make a difference. So now I will just give a little bit of background when it comes to suicide in Namibia, and thereafter I will get hold of our guest for today so we can get into the conversation. So suicide has become a significant public health concern in Namibia with alarming statistics and complex underlying factors. So the issue is a multifaceted challenge that demands a comprehensive and coordinated response from the government, non-governmental organizations, and the community at large, right? So while precise up-to-date data can be challenging to acquire, there is available information which paints, or which actually shows that suicide is a concerning picture in Namibia. So when we look at the suicide rate, Namibia's suicide rate has been estimated at around 9.7 per 100,000 people, a rate that places it among the highest in Africa. And also gender disparity, you know, consistent with global trends, men in Namibia are disproportionately affected by suicide. And this is something we have seen for ourselves. Most reports of individuals who take their own lives, it's actually men. Statistics show that the male suicide rate is significantly higher than that for females, with men accounting for a large majority of all suicides in Namibia. And also demographics, you know, the problem is particularly prevalent among young adult men who are aged between the ages of 20 to 29. However, other vulnerable groups include adolescents who are aged between 15 and 24, who are facing academic as well as social pressures, and also rural populations struggling with isolation and economic hardship, and also geographic concentration, which are certain regions, particularly Omusati, Oshikoto, Ohangwena, Oshana, Komas, and Hardap regions have been identified as having particularly high rates of suicide in Namibia. So now let's look at key contributing factors. Well, the high suicide rate in Namibia is not attributable to a single cause, but is rather a result of a complex interplay of, you know, socioeconomic, psychological, as well as cultural factors. And when we talk about economic hardship and unemployment, well, we talk about high rates of unemployment and poverty, which seems to be major drivers of suicidal behavior, especially among young men who may feel a sense of hopelessness and worthlessness due to their inability to find work and provide for themselves or their families. And when we talk about mental health conditions, well, we talk about mental health disorders, particularly depression, you know. And depression is known as one of the leading factor behind suicidal ideation and also behavior. Other conditions such as substance abuse and personality disorders also play a significant role in contributing to, you know, high rates of suicide in Namibia. And when we talk about social and relationship issues, we talk about relationship breakdowns you know, family difficulties and also feelings of isolation are frequently cited as triggers for suicide. So for marginalized groups such as the LGBTQIA+ community, discrimination and lack of acceptance further compound mental health struggles, and these can actually lead to suicidal thoughts or suicide. Lack of access to mental health care. There is a severe shortage of mental health professionals and services in Namibia, particularly in rural and remote areas. So the centralized nature of specialized care, with the main mental health center located here in the city, in Windhoek, while it creates a significant barrier to access for the majority of the population. And also stigma and cultural beliefs. While suicide and mental illness are highly stigmatized in Namibian society, very highly stigmatized. And this stigma, combined with cultural beliefs that may lead people to seek help from traditional or religious healers rather than mental health professionals, it creates a major barrier to seeking timely and effective care. So many people fear being judged or labeled, which prevents them from talking about their struggles. Right? So we actually need to find ways, you know, to prevent suicide as well as intervene, you know, have intervention efforts when it comes to suicide prevention. So in response to the growing crisis, there have been a number of initiatives as well as strategies that have been put in place by both our government and civil society organizations. Strategies such as, you know, a national strategy. Namibia is a leader in the World Health Organization African region, being the only country with the national suicide prevention strategy. So this strategy, currently being reviewed and updated, while aims to provide a comprehensive as well as multi-sectoral approach to suicide prevention, right? And there's also been efforts, community-based initiatives, efforts that are increasingly focused on community-based interventions. And these include training for teachers, police officers, as well as healthcare professionals to help them identify and respond to individuals at risk, right? There's also been public awareness campaigns such as Talk, Listen, Save a Life, which aims to reduce stigma and encourage open discussion about mental health. There's also been targeted programs, specific programs are being developed to address high-risk groups, and this includes schools, university-based mental health initiatives to support the youth, and also mobile mental health outreach services to reach underserved rural populations. So we have a problem in Namibia, and you who is listening at home, what do you think should be done as a nation to try and fight this pandemic that seems to be going out of hand? And this pandemic is suicide. We are now number one in Africa when it comes to suicide. So that is actually very worrisome. We really, really need to find ways to try and tackle this problem. It is now 26 minutes to the hour of 5 o'clock. And if you just tuned in, a very good afternoon to you. You are listening to The Crossover right here on your number one talk radio station. And today we are talking about this problem that we are faced with as a nation. And this problem is suicide. So today's conversation is understanding suicide and also finding hope. Now, let me go and find our guest for today so we can get into the conversation. Like I've mentioned, if you are also listening and you have something to add on, please do come through. The number is the usual one, 083-2888-401. I'll be right back in a bit with you as well as our guest for today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-2888-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
And it is now 24 minutes to the hour of 5 o'clock. Now joining me is today's guest on the crossover. Very good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Abigail, and to your dear listeners.
Maybe if you can just introduce yourself, who you are. I usually give the opportunity to the guests to do that because I believe they do justice in that way by introducing themselves.
Thank you very much. Yeah, my name is Jasper Kasoma, and I choose to identify myself as an agent of positive change.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the crossover today, Jasper. Now, let's get right into the conversation. As we have all seen that Namibia is now number one in Africa when it comes to suicide rate. And that is actually something that is very worrisome. So now the topic of suicide can be very difficult for people to talk about, Jasper. In your experience, what are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about suicide?
Yeah, like you put it, suicide can be, you know, like you say, it's biblical. But for some people, they consider, you know, talking about suicide as a taboo. It's not something that some cultures allow, more especially in Africa. And I would say, you know, just talking about suicide itself can plant an idea that, no, someone who likely to, you know, to commit suicide. But I disagree with that because it really, you know, having this dialogue can help us to identify some of the risk and how best we can support victims of such. Sometimes people are regarded as attention seekers, you know, when you say people who are likely to do that.
Yeah.
So, but this is really just deep emotional, you know, pain that someone is going through. And also to say that only certain type of people, you know, who can attempt to, you know, suicide.
Mm.
Which is too general, but if not limited to a certain group of people within society, ideally anyone can be affected or can be a victim of suicide. And then sometimes you say, they are always like, no, they are always signed when someone is about to commit, but it can be tricky. Sometimes you don't get any display of any sign. So it's such a, you know, topic that you cannot just limit it to a certain context of people within, you know, society.
Mm-hmm.
And also to say, no, only people that are going through, you know, mental illness are likely to do such, you know, or to have suicidal thoughts. It's not true. You know, you have trauma, you have a relationship, you have life circumstances that anyone can find themselves in, and then they would want to do that. And generally, sometimes, you know, people would say those that commit suicide are weak.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it's not true. It's not necessarily to say that someone is weak because or a coward to commit that. So. And also to say, no, it's just a personal thing. Suicide is actually a community responsibility. It's not just a personal thing because there are so many factors that contributed to that. I think those are some of the typical misconceptions that, you know, around suicide, more especially in Namibia.
So do you think that there are some common warning signs that someone might be considering suicide?
Yeah, I believe, you know, for immediate, you see people talking about, you know, wanting to kill themselves or mentioning specific plans like, no, I would want to do this. I would want to also, more especially when, you know, watching movies and stuff, then you'll be like, no, I also want to do something around that. You know, so it gives also an idea that this person might have suicidal thought.
Mm-hmm.
And also you can observe, you know, someone who has been social and then out of the blue, you know, they isolate themselves and see even within our household, someone trying to, you know, losing appetite and you know, their sleeping pattern also changes. You observe people who try to, you know, maybe talk to themselves, things like that. These are some of the signs. And also typically just, you know, substance abuse, either alcohol, whatever, drugs, then you see an increase to such. So it can also give a certain indication that there's something that is going on within this person's or this individual's mind.
But one thing that I've realized is that it's a bit tricky, and this brings us to the next question, right? That how can a friend or a family member differentiate these from typical sadness or mood swings, like the signs? Because before you answer, I had somebody that I know commit suicide earlier this year.
Yeah.
And I remember there were signs, but now I couldn't tell if these signs are somebody is just going through, you know, a sad moment or mood swings, because, you know, we all go through those moments in our lives, right? Yes. There are moments when you just want to keep yourself, you just want to process whatever you need to process. So it can honestly be a bit tricky sometimes, you know, to see some common warning signs when it comes to somebody who is considering suicide. So how can a friend or a family member, you know, differentiate from this typical sadness or mood swings? Is it even possible?
Yeah, it's possible to such an extent, but you know, psychological and this hopelessness, you know, when it comes to, you know, an individual perspective, of course, like you say, there are some life events that happen, or trauma, or setbacks, you know, maybe delayed gratification, like you're at a certain age and you do not have A, B, and C, now you feel like you are just, you know...
You are behind.
You are behind, and so, you know, you don't have that hope to like, no, will I achieve this, or will I have a degree, will I have what, all these kind of things that, you know, one would need to better their lives.
Mm.
It, like you put it, it's so tricky, but you would really observe in a person, you know, there are changes that would come, you know, even in terms of self-esteem, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, in terms of confidence, you will see there is even a decrease. The person doesn't even, you know, believe in themselves to a certain, you know, level, or just how their sleeping pattern, it changes. But self-esteem is really crucial, because it speaks to confidence in the level of how that person, you know, consider themselves. So yeah, it's a very tricky area of, you know, how we can engage, you know, as human we are social beings, and you know, things like confidence can give us an idea of how we feel, or how comfortable are we with ourselves.
Often people, you know, feel a sense of hopelessness before contemplating suicide. I believe, when somebody gets to that point where they are like, I'm finishing it, it should be a sense of there is nothing else that can be done here apart from me just ending it and unaliving myself. Can you explain to us, in your own understanding, the psychological link between hopelessness and suicidal ideation?
Yeah, so with ideation, you know, like you put it, a feeling of guilty, you know, someone feeling maybe they have done something, and then they are ashamed.
Or they feel useless.
And, you know, that anxiety also, all these things, depression can also come in. But at the end of the day, it depends on, like you say, the psychological, you know, link to how they can portray now that, you know, hope within themselves with what happened in their life, like the life events, how they are doing, like I mentioned earlier, if they've been now victims of a certain trauma, or like someone who was maybe, let's say, raped and all that, you know, there's also that. So, of course, it's psychological in terms of the mental state, and also in terms of how the social, because the social or the society has a big role in how we perceive ourselves, you know, and it can now, you know, also lead to how we can, as a people, now feel comfortable in terms of, So ideally, it's around that,
So if a listener is concerned about a loved one, what do you think is the best way to start a conversation about their mental health? Or what should they say, and what should they avoid saying?
So, first of all, I would want to indicate that you matter as a listener, and your loved one matters the most. But whenever you see someone portraying some of these things that we have discussed, I think it's always best that you must choose the right time and a right place where you can talk about some of these things. When you reach out to that person to say, okay, maybe you choose somewhere where it's a little bit quiet, and you can see now this person is comfortable to open up to me. Not necessarily you see your friend, you are in a bar and you have been observing that, then you want to have that discussion. Yeah. He might not be comfortable in that manner. So yeah, the timing and the place is very crucial, and also ensure that you know, the person is very comfortable. Have some empathy also in your discussion, and how, you know, you must care for that person to say no, you understand their situation. Yeah, then you express your concern, like, no, I'm really concerned about what happened. Why are you sleeping like this in terms of your sleeping pattern? Or you seems to be a little bit, you know, anxious, always nervous. What is going on? Or even when you are, if it's your friend, when you are maybe giving a presentation and all that, what happened to your confidence? Used to be this guy, but now it's this one. Mm-hmm. So understand the person where or what they are going through. So, yeah. And then allow them to speak up. Allow them. Do not judge. For you is to listen to that person. Listen to the person, what they are saying, and then you must avoid judging or giving judgment like, no, maybe it's because you have misused your money or because what, or things like that. Or if it's a relationship, related, you must avoid, you know, judging like, no, it could be you that you are the one who is at fault. Just really avoid, you know, pointing fingers, and indicate to that person that no, their feelings are really valid, and you support what they are going through, and yeah. So, but I would want to really caution that if someone is opening up to you like this, do not promise them that no, you're gonna keep it as a secret. Mm-hmm. It's always best to reach out to a professional, someone who has, you know, I mean, we also have centers that deals with, mental health and all that. But this is not a mental health situation, but we have professionals that can help and support. For example, Lifeline Childline, they have psychologists that can guide us to understand what the person is going through and how best they can overcome their challenges.
Mm-hmm. You know, many people are afraid that asking someone about suicide will plant the idea in their head. What do you think? Because if I have experienced that, you, Jasper, you are giving me signs that you might be suicidal, and that can actually make me to be scared to ask you, right? Mm-hmm. Because maybe it's just my thoughts. That's not exactly what you're going through. So you'll find that a lot of people are afraid to ask somebody about suicide, thinking that they might be planting the idea in their head instead. What do you think about this?
I think we should not avoid difficult questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I understand life is hard, and so are you as a person. You are also hard. You are a hardworking man, you are a hardworking woman, and you have been surviving all this time because of that hardness. But really, to say you might be pointing or giving an idea that this person is likely to do that, or rather motivating that person to do such, I don't think it's a right approach we can take as a society. Dialogue is really important. I mean, we must talk more and come up with, you know, with actions. If we are avoiding dialogue, then it might be difficult for us to come up with really measurable actions that can help us as people. So we shouldn't avoid that. We should discuss more, and one way or the other, you will always find a way around how best you can support this person. If they are going through a relationship situations, then you are likely to advise that, no, this is what it is, this is how best you can do. If it's a matter of substance abuse, then you'll be like, no, maybe instead of doing A, B, and C, how about you do maybe drink more water, things like that. So I think it's best when we intensify this conversation, it's best when we talk to one another. That's the only way I would see we can come up with a solution.
So how can we as a community create a culture where it's okay to talk about mental health struggles without fear of judgment?
I think as a community, we have work to do.
Yeah.
We have really greater work to do, more especially when it comes to misconceptions and misinformation, particularly to say, no, only certain people who can, you know, commit suicide, for example.
Mm.
So we need to find a way to avoid some of these things. And also just to say, no, only people who commit suicide are those that are mental, you know, that have mental conditions. It's so not true. So we need to understand how we get to this, like what contributes to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
That way we can support each other as a community. So first, awareness and public education. We need to each one teach one.
Yeah.
And this is the ideal program for us to really have this kind of conversation, to intensify this conversation. So for the dear listeners, I think it's also high time that we research more about suicide, and we also avoid some of these taboos to say, no, we cannot talk about A, B, and C.
Mm.
We have to face this because it is within us.
Mm.
Our society is going through all this, so we need to face it hands-on, and we should not avoid it, ideally.
So for those who have experienced suicidal thoughts or attempts, what does finding hope look like in a practical sense?
Yeah, I think as a people, we need to find purpose. And the purpose cannot just to say, no, you are doing A, B, and C, or you have a job, that's your purpose.
Hmm.
We need to value ourselves, to say that I'm living and I'm given this gift of life and I should be grateful for it. So gratitude should come first, and we must appreciate, you know, the things that we are having.
Mm.
Some people might not even, they are going through a lot that they don't even have the means of the things that you have. Even some people do not have access to, you know, for example, just the radio to listen to this kind of conversation because of, you know, life circumstances in terms of the economy.
Mm.
But those that have the means, we must be grateful and appreciate what we have, because not all of us have that. Some people who have they contributed greatly to society are not with us because, you know, at the end of the day, life is short and you have life expectancy as a people.
Mm.
So let's make this life worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I also want to say that, you know, we need to have that peace of mind to accept the things that are, you know,
out of our
within
control.
Our control. Yeah. And also, yeah, may God give us the serenity to do things that are within our control.
Mm. Can you share with us the importance of professional help like therapy or counseling in this process?
Yeah, most definitely. Professionals are trained to deal with this kind of situations. And if you go for therapy, whatever sessions, even if twice in a year, it is really helpful because a professional will advise you accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people that understand. Because you might be in a certain household, even if you open up, still you might not
no possibility of find need.
Yeah, get the help you need, you know. Mm-hmm. But these are the people now, the professionals. These are the they are trained to ensure that they will not judge you, but they will give you the best advice that you ever have. And in fact, they will help you to, you know, to boost either your self-esteem and also your personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
So they are very crucial when it comes to, you know, reaching out to them and engaging with them to see how best we can come up with the solutions that we might be needing. Because sometimes it's just a simple, like, you know, you have three girlfriends. Maybe you just want to, you might just get married. Simple as that.
Now, do you get married to the three girlfriends or how now,
Jasper? It's up to the psychologist to indicate to you which one are you going for. Maybe you just need such. Yeah, maybe you just need such. But you are stressing all your, you know. So I think these are the really professionals that can advise us accordingly.
Uh-huh. So if you could leave our listeners with one single message of hope, what would it be?
One simple or single?
One single message of hope.
Yeah, I would say we need to spread love wherever we go.
Mm.
We need to love more. As a people, we must believe in ourselves, and we must always do what makes us happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, society can give us, you know, certain pressure, but we must have that, you know, confidence to resist them. Even if it's, you know, delay gratification, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is, you know, permanent in life. Whatever situation that you are going through, it's not permanent. There is always a way around it.
Mm.
And I believe the discussion that we are having, suicide is not the way to go. You must always, you know, find purpose to something that you can. If you are a believer, find your mighty God and see how best grace will come to you.
And finally, last but not least, what's one thing everyone listening can do today to help prevent suicide and support those who are struggling?
I would say smile more.
Mm-hmm.
Smile, yeah. And also, it's high time that we need to check up on each other as a people.
Mm.
We need to really be empathetic towards one another and care more. And not necessarily take others, you know, feelings out of translation, but really listen to them and hear them out.
Mm.
It's that simple. Yeah, let's listen more actively and judge less as a people.
Well, thank you so much.
That can help us.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, Jasper, for coming through on the crossover. And I hope this is not the last time.
Most definitely. I believe the crossover is a platform for the people.
Yes.
And the people must engage more.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Have a lovely week ahead of you. Yes. It is 5:02. We are having a conversation on suicide, you know, understanding suicide. We are now the number one country on the African continent, right? Where suicide is seen happening the highest or taking place the highest. So we now have the highest rate of suicides on the African continent. And that is something that is very worrisome. As a nation, we really have so much work to do to try and tackle this issue. So last week when I was, just reading through about suicide and all that, I was shocked to find out that there is, I think, he's a psychologist, who spoke on the issue that he is surprised at how we are only trying to realize that suicide has been a problem in Namibia only now. Because according to him, suicide has been a problem since 2011 in Namibia. It has been a problem since then. So I just couldn't believe it that it has been a problem for this long. And we as a nation haven't found, you know, ways to try and get to the bottom of this issue. And it only looks like now that it is now reported that we are the number one country in Africa, we are now all surprised and shocked. Because the question is, how did we get here? How did we get there? You know, just to find out that the issue has been there and it has been there for over a decade. So we really, really need to find solutions to this problem because it is now a big problem. You know, these are not, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who was saying that these are not things that, we can be known for as a nation. You know, that we are the nation that kills itself. We are the nation that has individuals who aren't alive themselves the highest in Africa. It's not something that we need to be known for. So it is a huge concern. There is a huge, huge concern when it comes to this particular report with our nation. You know, we need to find ways to tackle this problem. I know it is a very complex, thing to always talk about, suicide. It's very complex in terms of people who commit suicide. Some of them, they show or they display signs of, you know, somebody who is having suicidal ideation. But in most cases, other people honestly don't show signs of suicide. So all of these are all things we need to try and get to the bottom of as a nation as to how do we now help those who are showing suicidal, you know, thoughts or signs, and how do we help those who are not showing any suicidal thoughts or signs? It's something that is really, really worrisome. Earlier this year, I lost somebody that I know to suicide. And I think I will live with the guilt of, you know, not reaching out because I could see that the person really, really started to self-isolate, you know. He was somebody who would, you know, speak, be bubbly, not really bubbly, you know, but speak and also just be there around other people. But then as time went on, the person just started self-isolating. And you know, me being me, I always want to, or I always believe in giving people their space, right? Because I believe that we all go through things at some point in our life. And in most cases, for us to face these things, we have to have time on our own, you know, on like time, you as an individual to try and process whatever you need to process. So in this particular individual, I actually saw the signs. He became too quiet, you know, for somebody who would speak, you know, have mini conversations here and there. He was really not an outspoken person. So obviously conversations out of him is something you wouldn't expect. But he became self-isolated, you know, keeping to himself a lot, not saying much. It's just greetings and then that's it. I thought, okay, maybe he's just having one of those moments. I usually have one of those moments. And when I'm having one of those moments, I honestly do not want to, you know, mingle, have conversations or anything that has to do with people's company. I just want to be all alone and just keep to myself. until I'm over that stage or those feelings. So that's what I thought was happening to this individual as well. Just to find out one day when I was going through WhatsApp status, just to see a whole death notice. And I just couldn't believe it. I was like, what in the hell is this that I'm looking at? I was literally shaking when I was looking at that thing. I couldn't believe it. So unfortunately, it's just like later on after the whole ordeal had happened that I actually got to realize that, you know what, the signs were there, to be honest. The signs were there, you know. So maybe we just need to figure out as individuals on how we can approach those around us who are giving off signs of, you know, suicide. I know in most cases it might not be suicide. I know in most cases it might not be suicide. It could just be, you know, one of those things where you want to deal with whatever you are dealing with on your own, you know, in your own space. But let's just engage. You never know. Let's just engage. Just, you know, try to have a conversation with the person if you see that they are not being themselves. If they are a bubbly person and they haven't been bubbly, you just try to reach out to them. You know, ask, is everything okay? I'm concerned. I'm worried about you. I have observed you for this particular number of days. And how I have seen you, that's not how I know you. What's going on? Please talk to me, or just know that you can talk to me whenever you are ready to talk to me. Yeah? 10 past 5. The number is 083. Yes, excuse me, I had to cough. We have a cough here. That's why the voice is also sounding like this on this particular Sunday afternoon. So as I was saying, the number is 083-288-401. Let's engage. Let's have a conversation. What do you think should be done as a nation to try and tackle this issue we are faced with? And the issue is high suicide rates in Namibia, which has now placed us number one on the African continent. What do you think should be done as a nation? 083-288-401. And of course, today we are listening to nothing but, you know, is it heartwarming? Yeah, let me call it heartwarming, you know, music, or music that is going to motivate us on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. Here is Michael Jackson with the song titled Heal the World. And after this one, Boyz II Men will also come through with Hold On. Yes. And after Boyz II Men, we will have Lionel Richie with Love or Love, and I will see you after that one. Let me also just try to rest, you know, the throat a bit, drink a bit of water. I will definitely come be with you in a bit.
Think about the generations, and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children, so that they know it's a better world for them, and think if they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. Brighter than tomorrow, and if you
you care enough for the living, make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world, make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make a better place for you and for me. If you want to know why, there's a love that cannot lie. Love is strong, it only cares for joyful giving. If we try, we shall see, in this bliss we cannot feel. Never dream, stop existing and start living. And it feels that always, love's enough, always growing.
Seem so worried.
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima. Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
You want
Bless the thing. Oh yeah. It is Sounds of Lionel Richie on this one titled The Love or Love. What a blessed thing. Oh yeah. It is 29 minutes past the hour of 5 o'clock, and before this one, we heard Sounds of Boys to Men with a song titled Just Hold On. And before Boys to Men, we had a song by Michael Jackson titled Heal the World, right? And it is now 29 past the hour 5, like I've mentioned. A very good afternoon to you, and welcome if you just tuned in. You are listening to The Crossover right here on your only talk radio station in Namibia, Eagle FM, The Eye. And we have 30 more minutes remaining for the show to come to an end. I will be leaving you guys in the company of Hendy, who will be with you from the hour of 6 to the hour of 8. That is on Eagle Spot Zone. Yes, that is Eagle Spot Zone from 6 to the hour of 8. And if you just tuned in, well, the conversation for today is the alarming rate of suicides that we have been, you know, seeing or hearing or reading about in Namibia. And that has now led to Namibia being the number one country in Africa, all on the African continent, where high suicidal rates are now recorded. So it is something that is very worrisome. And I posed a question to you guys who are listening, that what do you think or what do you suggest we can do or we should do as a nation? Because this is something that is very, very concerning. We are now known as the country on Africa with the highest suicidal rates. So what do you think should be done as a nation to try and, you know, fight this pandemic? The number is 083-288-401. So now we are going to look at if you are concerned that someone you know may be considering suicide, what is it that you need to look out for and what is it that you could do, right? So if you are concerned that someone you know may be considering suicide, it's crucial to take their distress very seriously and act with compassion, because your support can actually make a significant difference, right? So the first thing that you could do is recognize the warning signs. People who are thinking about suicide often show signs, though they might not always be obvious, but these signs can be, you know, verbal, behavioral, or emotional. Like I mentioned to you guys earlier that, you know, somebody I know earlier this year, around about April, committed suicide. And it's only later on that the ordeal had already occurred that I, you know, went back in my mind and I was like, you know what? That person was actually showing signs of suicide, but I think nobody just paid attention to him. So people who are thinking about suicide, in most cases, they often show signs, and these signs, you know, can be verbal, these signs can be behavioral or emotional. So when we talk about verbal signs, you know, we talk about talking about wanting to die, kill themselves, or that they are a burden to others, right? So they also express feelings of hopelessness, worthlessness, or just being trapped. And they also like to say things like, I wish I hadn't been born, you'd be better off without me, or there's no point to anything. So usually these are things. Yo, apologies for that. Well, big apologies for that, you know, burping. And also, I was about to cough, and then the burp just came out very fast before I could switch off the mic to cough. So apologies for burping on air. So yes, usually people who are thinking or who are having suicidal ideation, you know, they say things like this, you know, they talk about wanting to die or killing themselves, or that they would make reference to that they are actually just a burden to others. And they also express, you know, feelings of hopelessness, feelings of feeling worthlessness, or also just feeling like they are being trapped, you know, in this life thing. And they also like to say things like, I wish I hadn't been born, you'd be better off without me, or there's no point to anything. All right. So when we are looking at behavioral changes for somebody or someone who is thinking about suicide, you know, they make a plan or they research methods of suicide. Sometimes they also withdraw from friends, family, and social activities. So they become isolated. So it's like they self-isolate. And they also, you know, they start giving away their possessions to their friends, their loved ones, to those around them. They just start giving their things. That can also be a sign that, okay, this one is trying to, you know, say goodbye or leave us all alone. They also engage in self-destructive behaviors, like Jasper mentioned, that sometimes you will see that this person has just increased the drug or alcohol use, or reckless driving, or just engaging in unsafe sexual activities. And when we talk about unsafe sexual activities, we talk about, you know, having multiple partners, left, right, center. So these are actually very unsafe sexual activities. So you will see that somebody who is, you know, trying to unalive themselves or finish their life, cutting their life short, they really engage in self-destructive behaviors. And this can be a sign that should actually bring concern to you. And also a sudden sense of calm or happiness after a period of depression. This can indicate a decision has been made. Yes, very, very true. Because usually people who fall under depression or who become depressed, you know, there are people who don't show any happiness signs. It's people who, you know, self-isolate. They really don't talk to other people. They just keep to themselves. They look down. They're just not fine. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, this person is now calm and they look happy. You know, after a period of you observing that they haven't been well for some time, that can actually be an indication that they have decided that I'm ending this. Like, I am done being alive, living. No, I'm done. I'm not doing this thing. It ends here. All right. And also another sign is that there is changes in their eating and sleeping patterns. Jasper also mentioned this one, that you will see that somebody who used to enjoy their food eating, all of a sudden they don't eat. 2 or 3 days can go by, you don't see them eating anything. And also their sleeping pattern changes. Maybe they used to sleep around 9 p.m., 10 p.m. All of a sudden they don't sleep at all at night. They only sleep during the day. And they don't do anything. They don't go to work. They are not studying. But the sleeping pattern just becomes, you know, different from what you know. So that can actually be an indication or a sign that, something is wrong here. Something is not right. And also when it comes to emotional indicators, you know, individuals who are thinking about unaliving themselves, they become extremely moody. They have mood swings. They are just agitated. They always have this rage in them. And they also have, you know, feelings of shame, guilt, or self-hatred when they are having a conversation with you. All they are talking about is, you know, not being ashamed, feeling guilty. And also, you know, like they have this self-hatred. They hate themselves so much that it does not even make sense to you who is listening. And also a lot of people who are showing signs of suicide, you know, it's people who are always having anxiety. They are always depressed, or they have this emotional pain that seems unbearable. Like, you can't explain this emotional pain. Like, it's they feel it. And when they tell you that I can't explain, but I just feel this intense pain. like in my chest. It even makes me feel like I can't breathe in most cases. Right? So now how do you help? How do you help when you notice these signs? It's very important that after you observe a few of these signs or many more, because there are a lot of signs out there at the end of the day that are just going to make you question the person, the next person's behavior, right? So if you notice these signs, it's very important that you have an open, non-judgmental conversation, right? We need to learn to not be judgmental, guys. We really, really need to learn that, you know? And if you decide to engage in a conversation, a non-judgmental conversation, an open conversation with someone who you think might be having suicidal ideation, you can start off by asking directly and calmly. Don't be afraid to ask the person if they are thinking about suicide, right? Contrary to popular belief that when you ask someone about suicidal thoughts, that it means you are going to plant the idea in the head. No, it can actually provide relief by showing that you care and you are willing to talk about it with them. So you can actually say something like, you know, I've been worried about you. Are you thinking about hurting yourself? You know, or are you feeling so badly that you are thinking about suicide? Ask, you know, sometimes all we need to do is ask. Because this idea that when you ask somebody about suicide, you are actually planting the seed in their head. It's actually not true. It is not true. You can ask, as long as you ask in a calm manner, in a manner that is going to feel the is going to make the person feel, you know, safe, safe enough to open up and share with you if in a case they are really thinking about hurting themselves or thinking about suicide. You can also listen without judgment. You know, listen to what they have to say without interrupting or trying to fix their feelings. You can never fix somebody's feelings. When I come to you and I say to you, you know, I feel hurt, you can't fix that. I'm the one who's feeling it. If anything, you just have to listen to me without judgment. Validate their pain. Let them know they are not alone. Right? So avoid statements like you have so much to live for. You know, things could be worse or you don't really want to die. Instead, you could try to empathize, be empathetic and say, I can't imagine how painful this is for you, but I would like to try to understand all. I am so sorry you are going through this. Right? You also need to take them seriously. Assume that any mention of suicide is a genuine cry for help. Don't dismiss their feelings even if they seem minor to you. And also connect them to professional help. If you see that this situation is now dire, they might just require professional help. You cannot be the only person responsible for their well-being, right? So encourage and help them seek professional assistance. In a case where they have a plan or the means and the time frame, you know, do not leave them alone. If anything, you need to find the nearest help you can get for them. You know, help them find a therapist. It could be a mental health professional, a psychologist, a social worker. You can also offer to make, you know, these phone calls on their behalf, to try and show them that I am here, I'm supporting you, we are doing this together. And also create a safety plan. Work with them to create a safety plan. So this is a document that outlines what to do when suicidal thoughts become overwhelming. And this can actually be very helpful. So a safety plan, you know, can include a coping strategy or coping strategies such as listening to music that is soothing to their thoughts. Music that can get rid of suicidal thoughts, That is something that they could do, or also just take a walk. The moment they realize that they are getting into suicidal thoughts, they can just take a walk. Or they could write down names and numbers of a trusted person or trusted people to call when they have suicidal thoughts, right? So this is a safety plan that you could work with them. Just tell them this is something you could do in a case where these thoughts find you all alone, right? And also follow up. You know, your support is not a one-time conversation, guys. Follow up. Check in with them regularly to see how they are doing, and also to reinforce that you are there for them. They are not facing this thing all alone. It's very important, right? Very, very important. And also you need to remind them that they need to take care of themselves. You know, that it's also very important to take care of themselves. It is quarter to the hour of 6 o'clock, 15 more minutes, and I will be leaving you guys that is on the Eagle Spot Zone from the hour of 6 to the hour of 8. And now, last but not least, let's look at where you can find help for a loved one or for yourself in a case where you find yourself, you know, being suicidal, right? So if you or someone you know right here in Namibia is feeling suicidal, it is very important to seek help immediately. So there are dedicated services and professionals that are available to provide support. If you are seeking immediate and confidential help, you can reach out to Lifeline Childline Namibia. And this is a primary resource for crisis support. So they offer a 24/7 toll-free and confidential counseling service. All you need to do is just look up for their number on the website. I mean, on the website, right? So you just look for Lifeline Childline Namibia, and their contact number will come through or will pop up. So it's a 24/7 crisis support center where you can get counseling service, and their phone number is 116 or 061-223-221. So the 116 number is free of charge from any network, right? It's a toll-free number. The 116 number is a toll-free number. There's also additional resources as well as support. Be Free Namibia, they also offer a helpline for various issues, including mental health, and their phone number is 083-372-6550. Right? Ministry of Health and Social Services, they also provide mental health services at public health facilities. So you could visit your nearest state hospital. You can go to the nearest state hospital to be referred to the appropriate mental health unit or social worker. And also a mental health center, which is at Windhoek Central Hospital. This is the National Referral Center for Mental Health Services. They provide both, you know, inpatient as well as outpatient care. So if you or somebody that you know, finds themselves in a situation where they really require these services, please do remember that you can get them help, or you can also get yourself help by immediately contacting, these resources as well as support services or places that I just mentioned to you. And also remember that it is confidential, right? It is confidential. Always, always. I know we as people who are going through stuff, we always prefer confidentiality. So it's always important that we remember that these services are actually confidential. There's also another one, which is Outright Namibia. Outright Namibia, they offer psychological and mental health support specifically for the LGBTQIA plus individuals, right? So if you have the financial means, there are private psychologists and psychiatrists available right here in Windhoek. All you have to do is search for psychologists in Windhoek or psychiatrist in Namibia online, and they will pop up and you will find them. And also we have community and religious leaders. In some communities, traditional and religious leaders are also being trained to offer initial psychological support and can be a point of contact to seek help if you find yourself, you know, seeking help. So when you reach out, what you should expect is that when you call a helpline or visit a professional, you should expect to be met with, you know, a listening ear, because trained counselors and professionals will listen without judgment to what you are going through. And also you should expect confidentiality. Your conversations will be kept private. Crisis intervention. They will help you de-escalate the immediate crisis and ensure your safety, and also referral and guidance. They can connect you with long-term support such as therapy, medical care, or other community resources. So just remember that reaching out for help is a sign of strength. You do not have to go through anything all alone. Always remember that. When you reach out, reaching out is not a sign of weakness. Rather, it is a sign of strength. So you do not have to go through anything difficult all alone. Always reach out. 9 minutes to the hour of six. And of course, it is very important that we take this matter seriously. It is very important. Being known as a country where people are unaliving themselves is not something good at all, to be honest. It is not something good. So we need to work together as a nation to try and find ways on how we are going to tackle this issue. Really, really. We will go for a musical break, and I will come say my goodbyes to you on the other side. Do stay tuned until I say my goodbyes. Even if I say my goodbyes, well, do continue listening to the rest of the broadcastings right here. And here is Sounds of Patti LaBelle on this track that is titled Only If Only You Knew. Yes, If Only You Knew How Much I Do Care For You. Yeah? Don't even suspect
don't even suspect could probably care less about the changes I've been going through. Only you knew how much I do.
Only You Knew, sounds of Patti LaBelle, bring us exactly to 3 minutes to the hour of 6 o'clock. And of course, this is where I say my lovely goodbyes to you on this Sunday afternoon, right? So I will leave you with these few words. Let's love one another. Let's show compassion and care, right? And also let's, you know, have conversations. Let's engage. If you notice that, somebody around you is showing signs of, suicide, do engage. Ask. This thing of saying that when you ask somebody if they are having thoughts of, suicide or harming themselves, you are actually planting the seed instead. No, it's wrong. It's not true. It's not correct. Let's engage. If you know me as somebody who's bubbly, I talk, I do not self-isolate. All of a sudden, I'm now self-isolating. I'm keeping to myself. I'm not talking. Ask. Please ask, because you never know. Sometimes all you need to do is just to show that you care. That's it. And then you could save a life. A life that was being planned to be cut short by the owner. So let's go out there with love towards one another, love towards those around us. Let's not ignore these signs. If you see them, please do reach out and try to help where you can. And also, it does not mean that when you reach out, when you try to help, you will always help. Sometimes you might try to help, but the help might just not be received at the end of the day. The person just goes on with the final decision that they have decided on what to do, and that is committing suicide. So let's keep that in mind. Sometimes helping or trying to help might not materialize, but let's do our best. We need to fight this as a nation. It is a national problem. It's not an individual problem. So we need to fight this as a nation. Well, from me, Abigail, it is adios. I wish you a very productive week ahead. I will see you next Sunday. That is on the 21st of September, 2025. Leaving you with the sounds of Whitney Houston with this one titled Exhale. Yes, exhale. The moment you feel like you can't breathe, please exhale.